Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air, online, and streaming live video to Facebook and YouTube, and we would love to hear from you on this edition. Toll-free number 844-322-2742, available in the U.S. and in Canada. Again, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Our question for the month is, do you know God's will? And that is a question that we all want to know the answer to. Most of us get very frustrated in trying to figure out what God's will is. It's because we think about God's will in the wrong way. We're looking for a specific plan. What has God outlined for us today, for this week, for this year, for the next 5 years? It's like that interviewer's question, you know, on the interview. What are your five-year plans? Where do you want to be in 5 years? Well, we're hoping God will lay that out for us. And it's like finding a needle in a haystack. It's very difficult for us to figure that out. But we need to shift our thinking. And God's will really must be seen in terms of this new covenant. So when we look at the word covenant in the New Testament, it's a Greek word, diatheke. I said that right, didn't
you did.
I?
Congratulations.
Good. Yes, you've coached me well in prep for this. But it is always used in the classical Greek sense in terms of a will, a person's disposition of his assets upon his death. So this new covenant, this will of God, is really God's disposition of blessings toward us that are delivered to us in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
So what is the new covenant? It's God's choice to bless you in Christ. It is a one-way act from God to you. It's unilateral, and I think that is a very important word. The definition of this Greek word, it's two pages long in the complete word study dictionary, two full pages. But throughout that definition, you constantly see this word unilateral. You see God's act toward man, irrevocable act toward man. Man has no part in it. It's simply a declaration that God makes and he delivers through Christ. So it's his act, his choice to bless us in Jesus. That's the new covenant. That is the will of God. So many people will ask the question, well, if it's all God's doing, what's my part? Well, what do you do with the gift? You enjoy it.
Yeah, open it.
That's your part. Enjoy the blessing. If God has made you a child of God, enjoy being a child of God. If God has blessed you with everything that you need for life and godliness, go and live as a child of God. If you have been forgiven of all of your sins, which that's the will of God. That's the new covenant. Yes. That's what he delivered to you in Christ Jesus. Rest in that truth. Thank God for the truth that your sins have been forgiven. That's your part. It's a part that is described by that word faith. It is your response to God's blessings that have been given to you in Christ Jesus. So what is the will of God? It is the new covenant. That's God's will for you. It is God's declaration and enactment, unilateral enactment of grace towards you in Christ Jesus. And boy, that's good news, isn't it, Richard?
It sure is. I mean, think about it. If you've got questions about, I mean, the typical ones we get, who am I going to marry? What job am I going to have? Where will I live? How many children should I have? All of those questions. If you ask yourself, what is God's will in terms of the new covenant first, then you can ask those questions in terms of do the promises in that will speak to this issue? Well, they all speak to the issue, and they tell you to be content where you are to start with and see how life unfolds.
Yes.
I mean, it takes all the pressure off. I mean, we try these five-year plans, and we're about as successful as the old Soviet Union was. And then we blame God for it. If we would just take him at his word and let him bring the contentment to us, all of these things would just fall into place when it was right for them to fall into place.
Yes.
Really, they do.
Yes, indeed. So the new covenant. Jeremiah spoke of that hundreds of years before the time of Christ. He said a time was coming. Jesus stood before his disciples at that Last Supper. He raised the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant." Basically, he was saying that the time is here.
Yes.
And upon his death, and a will does not go into effect until the one who made it dies. But upon his death, that will was ratified, the shed blood ratified, and it ushered us into a new way of living with God. And that is through faith in Jesus Christ. He has delivered on all of those promises. There are four. We'll talk about those four tomorrow on tomorrow's broadcast. But those four promises, they're simple, but they're far-reaching. We should never underestimate, because they contain everything that we need for life and godliness, everything that we're looking for to live as children of God, every blessing that our heart has ever longed for are contained in this new covenant. That was God's will for you, to have every blessing in Christ Jesus. He's delivered that, and he delivered it to you the moment that you were saved.
Yes, indeed. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody, and if you're hearing the broadcast during the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, we encourage you to give us a call. We'd like to talk with you, and you can speak directly with us right now at 844-322-2742. Otherwise, call that same number, 844-322-2742, and you can pose your question by voicemail, and we'll be glad to address it soon on Basic Gospel. You can also make a donation at that particular number, 844-322-2742. Of course, the number one question that we get here at Basic Gospel concerns forgiveness. And many Christians, of course, are struggling in their Christian lives with this particular issue because they don't truly know that God loves them and has provided for them, that they are His forever. And with your gift to Basic Gospel this month, we're going to try to help that situation. We're going to send you a copy of the new CD resource entitled God's Will for You. And in this message, Bob Christopher explains the new covenant in terms of a will, God's will, ushered into effect at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that will, you're going to find everything you need to live a life of assurance. After you listen to the message, we encourage you to share it with someone else who might be struggling with the same issues of assurance and peace. God's Will for You is our gift to you with your support this month for Basic Gospel. And to accomplish that, just click the large link on the homepage at basicgospel.net, or you can call the number I've been giving, 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742, or at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Fairfax, Virginia, and talk to our good friend Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys. Speaking of a unilateral promise, this is kind of cool that I'm asking about this today. I wanted to ask you about Genesis chapter 22, verses 16 through 18. So in chapter 12 of Genesis, God had made Abraham a unilateral promise that he would bless him and that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through him. And then after that, a few times he had mentioned some other promises like the land, and he would multiply his descendants like the sand on the seashore and the stars in the sky. But then you get to Genesis chapter 22 after Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac. And then God says, because you have done this, in verse 16, and then in verse 18, he says, because you have obeyed my voice, which makes it sound like he somehow went from an unconditional promise to a conditional one. But I wanted to get your guys' opinion on that.
Well, I think this is just a restating of the original Abrahamic covenant. And so there's Genesis 12 where it was established, Genesis 15 where Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he believed God concerning the promise of this son. So he was a little disgruntled over the fact that he didn't have an heir. So he said, God, let's talk about this. God said, listen, you're going to have a son, and it's going to be your son. It's going to be the son of promise. And to that, Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. I think that is significant because it wasn't to the initial Abrahamic covenant that God credited Abraham righteousness. It was to the promise of the Messiah, the seed through whom the world would be blessed. So Abraham believed, it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, in Genesis 22, we see a picture of Abraham's belief in action.
Yeah.
So this isn't about obedience, even though that word is there. It's really about Abraham's faith. So this whole story, this whole relationship that we have with God is a by grace through faith relationship. That's the story from the start to the beginning. There was no other plan of God other than by grace through faith in Jesus, the promised one. So Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Here we see what exactly Abraham believed about God. Well, the first thing he believed is that God could deliver on his promise to bring a son basically out of nothing. Because Abraham was beyond age. If you look in Romans chapter 4, you get the take that Abraham was unable to have children. You also get the feeling, you get the sense that Sarah was well beyond her years. And so God had to do something. So this was God's act from start to finish. He blessed them with a son in the natural way that went beyond what the circumstance dictated was allowable, was possible. He showed them the impossible in delivering Isaac. And so now God is saying to Abraham, I want you to take his life. And as the writer of Hebrews says, Abraham reasoned that God could give life back to the dead.
Yes.
And so he marched to that altar. It was a 3 days journey from when God told them to pick up and go. It was a 3 days journey to Mount Moriah, which is right in the heart of Jerusalem today. He took his son to that very spot, built the altar, and put him on the altar because he had reasoned that God was able to bring Isaac back from the dead. So we see a wonderful example of Abraham's faith in action. His belief wasn't just intellectual facts, it was a dynamic reality that he was going to act on his belief. And when he raised that knife and he was about to plunge it into the chest of his son, he knew that when he did, there was going to be a moment after that that his son was going to breathe his last. But following that, there was going to be a moment when God would raise him back to life. Why? Because Isaac was the son of promise, and he was the one through whom the world would be blessed. So he had to bring him back to life to fulfill his promise.
Yes, there was no aspect of this in which Abraham was trying to appease God.
Right.
Or somehow please him in a way that would take the pressure off. This was an act of faith from beginning to end.
Yes, yes. So does that make sense to you, Chris? So when he was saying in verses 16 and 17 about, you know, you have not withheld your son, therefore, I think he was just restating. He was saying, your faith is genuine. This is the real deal.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say is faith in Jesus acts. It doesn't just sit around and do nothing. There's an ultimate expression, an outward expression of it. I'd actually heard an interpretation that said that God knew that Abraham would later obey him, which is how he could make such an unconditional promise beforehand, because it's almost like God gives whatever ability we have to obey God actually comes from God too. So I don't know if that's I don't know what your thoughts on that are, but I do get about the faith when it's genuine does result in an outward expression and manifestation. So yeah, that does make sense to me.
And don't miss the point that this is really all about resurrection. Even though that word is never used in Genesis 22, the fingerprints of resurrection are in every word, every verse. This is a story about resurrection. the writers of the New Testament explain this story in terms of resurrection. Read Romans chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 11, and James chapter 2. All of those writers couch this in terms of the resurrection story. What was God's plan? It was to bring new life to those who were dead in transgressions and sins. That was the story. And so we see that on full display right there in Genesis 22.
Yep. I like how you guys say that the entire Bible is a story of Jesus. And, yeah, that explanation does make that easier to believe. Sometimes we come across stuff like this, and it's like, huh, it makes me scratch my head. But, yeah, that explanation does make it indeed seem like the entire Bible is a story of Jesus, and I like that. So thank you very much for your explanation and for your time, as always. Appreciate the time you guys give us to answer our questions. Love you guys, and have a great rest of your day.
Hey, thanks, Chris.
Thanks,
you
Chris.
Do the same.
Yeah, great thoughts from Chris, and we appreciate hearing from him, as always. Just a reminder, if you've just tuned in, that at Basic Gospel, we really appreciate the partnership of all of those of you who stand with us month by month to keep this message on the air. And this month, we have a wonderful resource for you as you make your gift to Basic Gospel. It's called God's Will for You, a CD that Bob Christopher has produced, and we want you to have a copy. And simply go online to basicgospel.net. There's a very prominent link right there on the homepage, basicgospel.net, or you can call anytime, 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742, to make your donation and request your copy of God's Will for You. Open lines right now, 844-322-2742. That's a very popular number these days at Basic Gospel, guys, 844-322-2742. While we were in the Old Testament, let's address a question from Daisy, who writes to us from Dallas. She says, in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, when did this happen to the Jewish people, and what other land were they taken to?
Well, Deuteronomy 28 is a chapter that starts with blessings for obedience, and then, you know, we read about a third of the chapter, and then the last two-thirds are curses for disobedience.
Yeah.
And one of the curses for disobedience was captivity. For the people of Israel. And this really goes back to what we were talking about at the very beginning of the broadcast. This new covenant was a unilateral will, God's choice to bless us in Jesus. That was his doing alone. We weren't participants in that, only in the sense we received. We were beneficiaries. So that is a unilateral covenant that God made among, with himself. He made an oath, and he said, this is what's going to happen.
And he can't lie.
And because
so
he can't law,
true.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
So the old covenant was not like a will. It was a real covenant. It was a contract between two parties. And the two parties was God on one hand and the people of Israel on the other hand. And the language of that old covenant was, if then, if you obey my statutes and commandments, then I will be your God and you will be my people. And now they established that covenant by the shedding of blood. They sacrificed some things. And so the two parties entered into it together. Now, God was always going to keep his end of the bargain.
Yes.
He was never going to be the one that would back out on doing what he said he would do. The people of Israel failed 3 weeks later. They violated the covenant 3 weeks later when they built a golden calf and they bowed down and worshiped it as if it were God.
Yeah.
So they violated it 3 weeks into it.
Yeah.
But God gave them some grace. But over time, they continued to bow the knee to other gods, and eventually they went into captivity. Richard explained, well, there was the northern kingdom was
yes.
taken into Assyria. And
then the southern kingdom was taken over by Babylon. And it's interesting here in Deuteronomy 28, God says that a nation unknown to you or your ancestors, so God is being prophetic. He's actually prophetic in that it was you and the king you set over yourselves. So none of this had happened yet. And that points out one of the great differences between the Mosaic covenant and what we call the new covenant. even it was Mosaic covenant was a two-party covenant, but it wasn't between equals.
Yes.
God is the king here, and the people of Israel are his subjects. And so he gets to tell them what is expected, and they get to do it or not do it according to what he tells them to do. And if you go back to Abraham, that was not a covenant between equals either. That was one of those unilateral, I promise to do this kind of covenant. So the promise, like Paul says in Galatians, the promise is never superseded by the law, because the promise didn't go through the law. The promise went through the tribe of Judah. So God was telling them what to expect hundreds of years in advance, and it came to pass exactly as he foretold it.
Right. So getting back to her question, these blessings, these curses, they happened during the history of Israel.
Yes.
From the giving of the law until the time of Christ. Mm-hmm. So those captivities, I think the Babylonian captivity, between 500 and 600 B.C.
Yeah, around 586.
The Assyrian was probably a little bit sooner.
Yes.
Than that. So they experienced the effects of the law, their violation of the law, during their history as a nation.
Yes.
When Christ came, he was the end of the law. He put an end to the law so that everyone who believes might gain righteousness, not because of their merits, not because of their obedience to the old, but because of the Abrahamic covenant.
Yes.
That through his seed the whole world would be blessed. Jesus came on the scene. He died. He was buried. He was raised again. Those who have faith in him are blessed, blessed eternally. That's the good news of the gospel.
That is good news. And friends, if you have a question and can't get to us while we're live, you can drop us an email at bob@basicgospel.net. We would love to hear from you and address your question on Basic Gospel. Quick question from Lynn in Grayson, Georgia. Is it necessary that the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden be an actual factual historical event, or can it be thought of as a metaphor? Are there any serious ramifications for the foundation of our faith that would disallow the Genesis creation story from being only a metaphor?
Well, I think the fact that the New Testament refers to Adam as a real person, mm-hmm. I think that tells us that we need to think of Adam as a real person. He was a real person that suffered a real temptation, that had a wife named Eve. They were the original image bearers, the one who had the relationship with God, who walked with God in the garden. So if we make that a metaphor, I think we're robbing the gospel message of a lot of its power, mm-hmm. and impact in our lives today.
Sure.
So,
yeah. And Jesus is defined as the creator.
Right.
So if there's no creation, if it's just a metaphor, who's this Jesus character? It's,
yeah,
pointless.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And he is looked at, there's the first Adam.
Yes.
Adam in the
and
garden.
He becomes the second.
Jesus was the second Adam. And so there's, yeah, two family heads. There's Adam. That's who we're born into when we come into this world. When we're born again, we go from Adam, we're taken out of Adam, and we're placed in Christ. He now, yes, becomes our family head. Yeah. So everything Adam became, that's what we inherited through natural birth. Everything that Jesus is, that's what we've inherited through new birth,
yes,
in Jesus.
Yes, indeed. Well, Lynn, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you as well. And again, you can drop us an email at bob@basicgospel.net. Our regular listeners know that the number one question we receive at Basic Gospel on the radio program is about forgiveness. Too many Christians are struggling because they don't truly understand. They don't grasp that God loves them and that they belong to him forever. And with your gift to Basic Gospel this month, we're going to send you a brand new CD that Bob Christopher has produced called God's Will for You. And in this message, Bob explains the new covenant in terms of a will. It's God's will, effective at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that will, you're going to find everything that you need for a life of assurance. This CD, God's Will for You, is yours with your gift this month to Basic Gospel. All you need to do is click the large link right on the homepage at basicgospel.net. Or phone 844-322-2742, that popular number I've been giving a lot these days. That's available 24 hours daily, 844-322-2742, or at basicgospel.net. There's a big old link right on the homepage. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. Bye-bye.